Live from Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The reason the Bible Answer Man is on the air is to defend the Christian faith, proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and to teach discipleship to his followers, because life and truth matter. To ask Hank your question, call in now, 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information or to order resources, go online to equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I'm so delighted to be in the studio. You know, I had to go to the doctor today, and as a result of that, I took a little nap. I was a bit tired, and as I was about to go to sleep for about 10 minutes, the Lord kept flooding something that I had memorized many, many years ago, back and back through my mind. And I wanted to share that with you at the opening of the broadcast. Then we'll go directly to your calls. The number to dial is always 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. By the way, the genius in our broadcast department has somehow or other gotten our equipment to work in a very short period of time. So right now I'm looking at the screen, and no one's running questions into me like the case was yesterday. But anyway, I want to share what was going through my mind. Yeah, and I memorized this originally in the NASB because that's a very pithy translation. And the words go like this: "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they'll add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart so you'll find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man." And then the familiar words: "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine." And then the writer of Proverbs quotes something that we're familiar with from Hebrews: "My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof. For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father the son in whom he delights. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding, for its profit is better than the profit of silver, and its gain than fine gold." I love, and I'd go on, but I love this particular proverb in so many different ways. We're taught to do what we do with gentleness and with respect. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Over the last few days, some very unkind things have been said about me. I've been dropped by a radio network in which the principal person said that I had converted to Orthodoxy, but they wanted to remain biblical, as though somehow or other what I am doing or saying is suddenly unbiblical. Perish the truth. Perish the reality that that would be the truth. I think it's so critical that everybody listening into me right now tests what I say in light of Scripture and then holds fast to what is good. I have a quote of the day which will expand on this in the third part of our broadcast today. Well, so many of you calling in from everywhere. The lines are just jamming up. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. If you want information that I talk about on the broadcast, you can find it on the web at equip.org, or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, our resource consultants, they are standing by, 888-7000. and the letters C or I. First up today, Ron. He's listening in Prescott, Arizona on the web. Hi, Ron.
Good evening, Hank. I'm listening on the internet via W Heaven, 1240 AM.
Oh, thank
out
you.
Of Charlotte.
Wonderful.
At the Great White Throne Judgment, will the lost be judged for every sin they committed or just the sin of unbelief?
Well, look, at the Great White Throne Judgment, you have two kinds of things happening. This, by the way, if you want to be familiar with the actual wording of the Bible, which I ascribe to, in contrast with what a lot of people are saying, the Bible here talks very clearly about some who are going to be judged to eternal damnation and some to eternal life. But it also makes clear that there are, as it were, books of merit along with a book of mercy. And what I mean by that essentially is that Paul points out in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that no one can lay any foundation other than the one that has already been laid, which is in Jesus Christ. And then he says, if any man builds on this foundation, and he delineates using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw. I mean, delineates in the sense that precious metals or that which is not precious or particularly precious. He says that his work will be shown for what it is because the day, and we're talking about the same thing that's being described by John in the book of Revelation, the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he has built survives, he will receive his reward. If it is burned up, he will suffer loss. Now, here's the qualifying phrase by the Apostle Paul. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the fire. So what does that mean? It means that Paul is illustrating the sober reality that some believers will be resurrected with little to show for the time they spent on earth. They will be saved, but only as one escaping from the flames. And I've written about this in a book called Resurrection, in which I point out that this means that some people will escape, sort of like a person escapes from a burning building with little more than charred clothes upon their backs. So a sober warning that while we are saved by Jesus Christ, and that we cannot lay any foundation other than Jesus Christ, we must build on that foundation. What we do now counts for all eternity. Now let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Brian. He's listening in Cooksville, Texas, on the web. Hi, Brian. Hello, Brian. Let's check John in Atlanta, Georgia, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, John.
Hey, John. Hey, Hank. God bless you and happy Easter.
Thank you. Christ is risen.
I also want to say, you're welcome. I want to say that I know some of what you're going through in pursuing the truth and trusting God is probably, as you highlighted a few minutes ago, creating some difficulty, but I really respect and commend you for kind of remaining true to your pursuit of the truth.
Thank you.
Asking this question, and full disclosure, as a Catholic who periodically listens to your show, I've heard you say before that in essentials, unity, in non-essentials, liberty, and I think in all things charity, if I have that right. So I'm curious if you view the doctrine of the real presence as an essential. And I'm not asking that as trying to cause trouble. I'm just curious with the journey you've gone through, how you regard that doctrine.
Well, I would not list that as one of the essentials of the historic Christian faith, because certainly if you look at church history, the Catholics, the Protestants, and the Orthodox have different views. Now, the Catholic and the Orthodox view are very, very similar. So what you can say is for the first 1,500 years of church history, all of church history uniformly pointed to a belief in the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, which is to say that even before we were divided between East and West, there was a unity there. And even after the great schism that took place in the Western Church 500 years later, Luther still believed in the real presence of Christ. And I have mentioned this on the Bible Answer Man broadcast several times. I suppose most Christians are familiar with the great colloquy that took place in 1529 in the Marsburg Castle in Germany. Essentially a debate between Luther and Zwingli. Zwingli accused Luther of bread worship. And he said, how in the world can you possibly believe in the real presence of Jesus Christ in the Eucharist? And Luther responded by saying, look, if you can explain to me how Christ can be one person with two natures, I'll explain to you how Christ can really be present in the Eucharist. And by the way, if Luther could have disagreed with what he called the papists on any point, this would have been the point he wanted to disagree with them on. He made that clear. So here's kind of the point of all of that. There's a difference between East and West in how you describe it. Luther would say that Christ is present in, with, and under the elements. Roman Catholics would say there's a transubstantiation that takes place. The Orthodox Church has never tried to explain this. And Luther was actually in that tradition. He considered this, as I've said before on the broadcast, he considered this a great mystery. And so we leave this as Orthodox people in the realm of mystery. The Western Church, again, has explanations for it. And while Luther may have won the war or the battle of words with Zwingli, debatable, but I think he most certainly did, Zwingli probably won the war, because from that time on, there has been a fissuring in terms of significance of the Lord's table or communion or mass or the Eucharist, whatever moniker you'd like to use. There's been a fissuring such that I was speaking in one church, and before I spoke, the pastor was introducing me. He said, by the way, if anybody wants communion, just go to the back. There's a jug there, and you can have some Kool-Aid and a couple of crackers on your way out. You have other people like Joseph Prince who's saying, you know, take communion at home as many times as you want to take communion. You know, it's really actually for your healing, and so just keep taking communion at home in isolation. The Orthodox Church, the Catholic Church, Healthy, Well-Balanced Churches know nothing about rugged individualism. You take communion in community. And so the ideas that have been prevalent in many, many circles in the modern church have made me very wary of finding a safe spot, particularly for my kids. And by the way, I have to say this on a personal level because, oh my goodness, the you know, the things that are being said are so out in left field. I mean, I wanted a place where I could worship God in spirit and in truth. There happened to be a local community that had been impacted by our ministry with some of the most wonderful people I've ever encountered. My children fell in love when we were just going there for a little while with some special needs children that are considered angels in their midst, and they started befriending them and helping them. There's an incredible prison ministry there that one of my kids was very much taken by. And so and there's much more I could say. My wife, she wanted to be able to read Greek without any translational obstacle. We fell in love with a community of believers, and so I didn't mean to go off the main point, but yeah, I think it's so unfortunate that we have a major broadcasting entity saying that I've become Orthodox, they want to remain biblical. During Holy Week, there were 30 hours of service, and the vast majority of those hours were devoted to pure Bible. I felt like I was in the spiritual gymnasium for 30 hours. Well, anyway, I don't want to say a whole lot more about this except for coming to station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, so please don't touch that dial.
Most of us Westerners do not even think about a cow or chicken being slaughtered as we eat a steak or chicken sandwich. Taking the life of an animal can be unsettling, and in response, various religions idealize a vegetarian diet. To support their view, some claim that certain texts from the Old Testament, especially Isaiah, support this vision. Well, does Isaiah idealize vegetarianism? Professor Andrew T. Abernathy answers that question in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. To receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will be back after the break. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. C.S. Lewis was the greatest apologist of the 20th century, and he continues to serve as a practical role model today for winsome Christian apologetics. Donald T. Williams perceptively identifies several lessons we can learn from observing Lewis's approach. Other topics include the abolition of man today, three ways to teach your kids apologetics without them realizing it, how to approach apparent contradictions in the Gospels, and much more. To receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go, on your phone or handheld device, with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day, or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. C.S. Lewis was the greatest apologist of the 20th century, and he continues to serve as a practical role model today for winsome Christian apologetics. The current issue of the Christian Research Journal perceptively identifies several lessons we can learn from observing Lewis's approach. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. To receive your copy of the current issue of the Christian Research Journal as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I want to read just a couple of testimonies before we go back to our callers. My apology to people that are calling in from all over the world. I will get to your calls as quickly as I can, but I got so many testimonies in the last few days. We just don't know what to do with them. Here's one from Julie, and I love this one. She says, thank you for addressing the rumor about you possibly leaving the Christian faith. Important to do because internet lies travel halfway around the world before truth has had the chance to put its boots on. You answer clearly. Let's us, as your listeners, know you have not left the faith. So I've been answering that, no, I haven't left the faith. She goes on to say, I encourage you, as others do, to ignore those who have and continue to speak against you. Lift them up to God through prayer in love. I mean, how beautiful is that? And I have been doing that, Julie. Satan wants to bring you down because you are, well, this is immodest for me, but I'm reading what Julie is writing. You are one of God's strongest branches. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Remain strong and continue as you have for God and others, your sister in Christ. God bless you. Perhaps one or two more quickly. Andrew writes, Hank and staff at CRI are an excellent and reliable source of biblical information and understanding, holding to the foundational principles of the Christian faith from the Protestant, Catholic, and Orthodox traditions, which all share in the solid fact of the triune God in his nature, work, and persons. God bless CRI. One more, Paula. I learn so much from these Facebook episodes. I love this one. I listen to you in Nicaragua through the broadcast archives and have never missed an episode. You have taught me the truth. I've been a member of the Bible Answer Man support team for many years. I only wish I could send more because what you do is all important, Hank. God bless you and your family. I'd like to read others, but we're here to answer calls. Let's go back to the phone lines, and we'll talk next to Brian. He's listening in Cooksville, Texas. I think we were trying to talk to Brian earlier, but you're on mute or something like that. Mute. Hi, Brian.
Yeah, I hit the mute button with my ear by accident.
No problem.
I'm sorry. But thanks for taking my call, and I do very much appreciate the ministry and support it as well. But, Hank, my question has to do with the Old Testament.
Yeah.
And, well, I know there's a reference in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 4 to the sun. And I was just wondering, is there a well-developed sense in the Hebrew mind of God having a sun? And is that found in the Old Testament?
Well, sure. I mean, I think immediately of the famed passage that is read so often during the Christmas season, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. His name will be called, and then it goes on. I think we're all familiar with that. But the point here is a child is born, This is speaking of Christ's human nature. A son is given, unites the two natures as one person with two natures. And those two natures are never divided. The Son of God is also, of course, the son of a virgin, the Virgin Mary. So, you know, what you have in the creeds, and I love the Nicene Creed that says this about Jesus Christ, that we believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all ages, light of light, true God of true God, begotten, not created, of one essence with the Father, through whom all things were made, and then who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary and became man. Now, what's important, however, to say in light of your question is that the ideas that we have in the Old Testament are shrouded, in a sense. They're shrouded as furniture would be in a dark room. They're there. You can see them if you look for them. Sometimes you stumble over them. But the light of Christ shone most brightly when Christ came. So in the Old Testament, there were types and shadows pointing forward to a sacrificial lamb that would come to take away the sins of the world. Well, that was prefigured in temple priest and sacrifice. And so it wasn't as developed as it certainly is in the didactic epistles in the New Testament. So do we know about it? Well, of course we do. The prophecies point that only Jesus Christ can walk through that doorway of the prophetic utterances made in the Old Testament. So absolutely, it is something that is regarded in the Old Testament, but then clearly explicated in the New. And I think this is maybe a way of augmenting the truth, that it is not the absence of truth that damns. Ultimately, it is the despising of truth that damns. Let's go to Lance. He's listening in Germantown, Maryland, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Lance.
Oh, Alex.
Hi.
I appreciate your show and all the wealth of knowledge you depart upon us. Thank you. My question to you is, do you believe that the Godhead, the Trinity, was fractured at the moment when Christ was on the cross and God turns away from him when the sin of man is laid upon him? And he cries out, "Why have you forsaken me?" Do you think at that point there was actually a broken Trinity?
Well, not at all. In fact, you know, Jesus Christ on the cross is crying out, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And he's actually, in context, he's pointing back to an Old Testament psalm. And that psalm makes very, very clear that Jesus Christ was not forsaken by the Father. Because if you read the entirety of the chapter, you read in verse 24, and this is Psalm 22, in verse 24 you read, "But he has not forsaken his beloved one." And so the idea that somehow or other there is a fracturing within the Godhead is anathema to the Christian faith. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have always been in loving relationship one with the other.
Okay.
One with the others, I should say, probably, to term that correctly.
Well, I appreciate your insight on that. Thank you.
You are most welcome. Thank you. Just hit the cough button and forgot to take my finger off it. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Grace, Tucson, Arizona, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Grace.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you sound wonderful.
Oh, wonderful. Thanks. Thanks for taking my call, and I completely agree with a lot of the testimonies I hear about your program. I want to add additional question, but the first question is, I have a lot of friends who are really talking about the shack. and really praising this movie, really praising this movie. I became aware of it a few years ago from a friend of mine who read the book, and from what she had told me, it kind of frightened me. So I've done a lot of research, and I've been listening to you talk about it. My question is, I'd like to know what's redeemable. So in these conversations, I can actually, you know, come back with them with something that is good from the movie. The other thing I wanted to ask, and then I'm going to hang up so that I can hear you. Father passed away recently, and one of the things I keep getting back from people is, and it really bothers me, is that that I could talk to him if I want to. And I feel like when I do, that I would have a conversation with him, somehow it would negate my Lord. That, you know, I know my Father's in heaven. I know he's with the Lord. I do have your book, The Afterlife, but I looked for that particular question and I can't find it.
Yeah, well, I think this is an interesting thing. The first thing we have to recognize is there's no such thing as a dead Christian. In the truest sense of the word, while the body has been buried, the non-physical aspect of humanity is in the presence with the Lord. And so we read in Hebrews chapter 12 that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And so we're therefore urged to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and to run with perseverance the race marked out for us, looking unto Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith. So we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Now, there are a couple of things we can say about that. Some of those witnesses are actually delineated one chapter earlier in the great Faith Hall of Fame chapter. So we see those who were persecuted and died. Sometimes I think when I get some of the meanest kinds of statements about me, I think, you know what? Sorry for this phrase, but you hear it sometimes in popular culture, man up. When you see people being not just persecuted and avenues of your program being truncated and all these kinds of things, I mean, these are inconsequential compared to people who are literally dying for their faith. Well, those people that are literally dying for their faith, that have suffered, are that great cloud of witnesses. They continue to exist. They don't have awareness anymore because they don't have their bodies, but they have awareness in the presence of God. So should we pray to people? I'm not suggesting we should pray to people, but I am suggesting that it is a wonderful thing to think about the fact that you can ask me to pray for you and I will pray for you. But there are others we can ask to pray for us as well. I mean, it's asking someone. I don't know whether there's a connection there between this world and the next. And that's why I didn't write about it, because I can't absolutely verify that. I think perhaps if I learn more, I'll be more educated on this subject. But the fact of the matter is, my dad is in the presence of the Lord, and I certainly hope that my dad is speaking to the Lord about me and what I'm doing presently, what I'm going through, and even beseeching the Lord, as I would beseech you, to be granted the Lord's mercy. We're going to be back in just a few moments with a quote of the day and more answers to your questions.
A trend in many parts of the contemporary American Christian church is the propagation of cliches that are neither Christian nor true. One of these is the idea that no sin is any worse than any other sin. That is, from God's perspective, all sins are equally bad. In the current issue of the Christian Research Journal, Michael W. Austin offers a strong biblical case for why, in God's sight, all sins are not the same. To receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888 7000CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ. With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app. Those who do not remember the past are condemned to repeat it, and historical amnesia means certain death when moral truth is forgotten. The current issue of the Christian Research Journal examines C.S. Lewis's prophetic warning that the growing acceptance of moral subjectivism and the moral skepticism it breeds would lead to a pernicious moral and eugenic manipulation of humanity. If we are to forestall the nightmarish consequences of the death of truth, followers of Christ must reject ignorance and false knowledge and deliberately learn to speak and feel the truth of the natural moral law in love. To receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. Beware of false knowledge, said George Bernard Shaw. It is more dangerous than ignorance. In our increasingly secular and politically correct society, where fake knowledge has had a long-running start on fake news, the value we should place on knowing and speaking truth in love has never been greater. To equip you to know, feel, and speak truth in love, the current issue of the Christian Research Journal features a fresh look at the work of C.S. Lewis, one of the greatest Christian thinkers of the 20th century. To receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal as our thank you for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. And now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
By the way, before I go to the quote of the day, let me simply say this. I have caught the tweeting bug. I have not tweeted in years. Personally, I've left that up to others, and I haven't done any personal tweets. And I thought maybe good to do some tweeting. So today, someone who is a leader in the Southern Baptist denomination called me and prayed with me. And it was, you can look at the tweet if you want to know the name, but it was one of the highlights of my day, and it was so timely. And I thought about the fact that only in winter do you know which trees are evergreen. And so that was a wonderful moment. And I thought, you know, I'm going to tweet that out. So I tweeted that out. And shortly thereafter, my son, David, my oldest son, came into the office. And I'm going through a little bit of a physical challenge. And so he wanted to support me. And he gave me this big, big hug. And someone standing in my office took a picture. I thought, you know what? That's a fantastic thing to tweet as well. So that was my second tweet of the day. Probably happened within 10 or 15 minutes. And then I tweeted out, I'm starting to tweet again. I hope I haven't caught the Twitter bug, but this is my third tweet of the day. So anyway, I'm going to be tweeting on a regular basis. I'm just telling everybody, if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can do that. Now, I, unfortunately, am not very technology savvy, so I'm going to have to ask others how to let you know. But I'm sure if you go to the website, you'll be able to figure out how to follow me on Twitter. The quote of the day, this was posted on Facebook. I'm going to get busy there as well. But this is by Frederica Matthews Green. She stayed at my house recently, and my kids fell in love with her. She is just such a warm and wonderful person. Her smile lights up a room. One of the greatest writers I have ever seen. She just writes with such clarity. And she was talking about in her post about how the faith constitutes the church. The faith itself, once for all delivered to the saints, is the authority. It is the authority. And then the quote of the day, and I'll just quote her and not add any more of my commentary, but she says, and I quote, "The role of the Bible, no one believes literally in sola scriptura. Everyone believes that the Bible has to be responsibly interpreted." Of course, I've been saying that at the Christian Research Institute for 30 years. She goes on to say, "Everyone believes that some interpretations of the Bible are better, more accurate than others. And everyone believes that leaving a wholly untaught person or a completely untaught person free to invent his own interpretation of the Bible is dangerous." And boy, have we seen that in the hermeneutical chaos that is reigning today within the body of Christ. So the question is, where do you get your interpretation? I thought that was a wonderful, enlightening statement by Frederica Matthews Green. I get a Facebook post. I'm sure you'll be able to find it. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Adam in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, listening on CHRB. Hi, Adam.
Hey, Hank. Yesterday on the broadcast, you talked about your wife, how she knows Jesus and not just knows about him. And, you know, I've phoned you a few times, probably a few too many times as of late. You know, I've been really going through a crisis of faith. And I just thought I'd ask you to speak a little bit about that and how can someone come to know Jesus and not just know, you know, truth about him, but, you know, just speak a little bit more about that. Could you do that?
Yeah. Let me give you some background. And you know, if I don't sound completely fluid on the broadcast today, I had a lot of blood drawn today, and so I'm a little weak, but let me give you a little context. And sometimes when you feel a little weak and you know that there are a lot of landmines out there because people are parsing your words in many different ways, it's more difficult to be fluid. But let me let it fly. I told a story that's related to this. A story about going to China. And I've been to China many times, but this was many years ago, at least a decade ago. And I remember meeting simple people in the sense that they didn't study theology. They weren't immersed. They didn't have the opportunity to do that. They simply didn't have that facility. It wasn't provided for them. And then as I met them, I thought, wow, these people are amazing. There's a light that's radiating from them, as it were. So at that point, I began to realize that there's a difference between knowing and knowing. I might know more because I had more advantages to study theology than they did in their circumstance, but they really had an experience with Christ on an ongoing daily basis, and in interacting with them over a period of time, I was amazed at the life of Christ within them. Now, the reason I say you got to be careful about everything that you say nowadays is someone on my staff came to me and said, you know, what you said about going to China and meeting Chinese people there that hadn't studied theology, what they're now saying about that, how they've twisted that, is that I think that the Chinese are less intelligent than Americans. I mean, how you can get that out of what I said, just boggles my mind. But that's become, you know, a big thing. I'm somehow or other thinking that the Chinese aren't as smart intellectually as American. But no, I saw life in them. And I would say the same thing about my wife. My wife, she has always exemplified to me life. Now, that does not mean she's not smart. I mean, she graduated from university when she's supposed to graduate from high school and never had an A-. She's brilliant. And I love her with all my heart. But she had always been walking down the road of life. She wanted the experience of God. And I always debated, defined, and defended the truth. Well, somewhere along the line in our journey, our paths converged. And I can thank, honestly, the progeny of Watchman Nee. They're all over the world today. I don't agree with them on everything. They don't agree with me on everything. But I have seen life consistently in many of these wonderful people all over the world. So my path, Kathy's path, have converged. Because now my wife, who's brilliant, is studying the early fathers. I mean, she's reading things to me. I mean, she's teaching me, quite frankly, many things that are gaps in my historical knowledge. And of course, I have a certain amount of theological acumen. I've been doing this show for 30 years. I don't consider myself a professional. I'm a plain old layperson. But what's happened is our lives have converged. She loves truth. She loves to read, tomes. I mean, literally, one day I watched her in the bookstore. I didn't know how she could get all the books out of there. I had to help carry some of them. And I look in those books a few months later, and they're all underlined. So she loves truth. Well, I have grown to love life just like she loves life. So that's kind of what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the difference between knowing and knowing. And a good friend of mine, I think I mentioned his name on the broadcast not long ago. His name is Elijah. I'm not going to identify him in any other way. But he's had such a great impact on me. One day he told me, life and truth matter. But as a result of that, I used to say, I do what I do because truth matters. Now I say, I do what I do because life and truth matter. So that's really what I'm talking about.
Well, thank you, Hank, for talking about that. And you know, if I can just that maybe request, like, I would love to hear, you know, in the coming time over your broadcast, like, just, you know, ideas of how can we all out here in Radio Land, how can we come to know this life, you know, rather than just know the truth about Jesus? How can we cultivate this life? Because really, I think that's what's so difficult for me in a crisis of faith is, like, I can study all the truth and I can learn about how the resurrection happened and I can learn about all these things. But what I'm really looking for is a touch from God and just a touch from Him saying, you are my son and you are, you know, so I'm looking for that life and I'm there and I'm having a difficult time in life, but, you know, I am looking for it. So any thing that you have to say that leads us towards looking for that life is very appreciated.
Let me just say one thing before I let you go, and that is a good friend of mine once said to me, the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. And maybe by way of analogy, you can say that the Bible is hugely significant. It has been so significant in my life that I have memorized a lot of the Bible. I'm not going to say how much. People ask me that all the time, but I'm constantly memorizing Scripture. So I love the Word of God. I have a passion for the Word of God. Anyone that knows me knows that. But I can't eat the Word of God. I can't eat the Word of God in the sense that I can't take a physical Bible and eat it and hope that would be nutritious to me. The Bible is pointing me to something, and that is the meal, just like a menu. A menu is wonderful. I remember flying to Tokyo a number of years ago, and I couldn't read anything on the first menu I saw, but it had pictures that literally made my mouth salivate. So the menu was not the meal, but it certainly pointed to the meal, and that's really the essence of what I'm talking about, an encounter with the living, resurrected Christ. And there are many ways in which we can have an encounter with the living, resurrected Christ. And as you have requested, I will definitely be dropping those breadcrumbs for you as we progress together on that path. I mean, this is the path that we're on until we're in heaven together. We are going to continue the journey of being filled with God, so that what we do is not by might or by power, but by His Spirit. That's why we say, and I'm going to end the program this way with my apologies to those still hanging on. We do what we do at the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, because life and truth really do matter. And they're making a difference for people, not only for time, but also for eternity. So my deepest, sincerest gratitude for those who support this ministry. I need your support now more than ever. We've had some blows that are quite substantial, but I know God has always been faithful to this ministry, and He'll continue to be faithful. We'll see you tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just go to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast live or download archived broadcast. To talk with a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI, or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Parents want their children to know what they believe and why they believe it, and to love the right things in the right way. But it's not easy to retain the attention span of children for a lecture in apologetics. Three ways to teach your kids apologetics without them realizing it. Other topics include how to approach apparent contradictions in the Gospels, C.S. Lewis, Defender of the Faith, and much more. To receive the current issue of the Christian Research Journal as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Take the Bible Answer Man broadcast wherever you go on your phone or handheld device with the Equip app, free from the Christian Research Institute. The Equip app is available for both Apple and Android devices, so you can listen to the Bible Answer Man broadcast live each day or listen to archived programs at your convenience. You can also subscribe to the Christian Research Journal, make a donation to CRI, and read well-researched, trustworthy articles that will help you defend the faith and grow in your walk with Christ.
With the Equip app from the Christian Research Institute, you'll have the answers you need to questions about Christianity, cults, and issues of theological and apologetic concern right at your fingertips wherever you go. So go to equip.org/app and download the Equip app for your phone or tablet today. Again, that's equip.org/app.